because he's what it's all about. Last 3 or 4 weeks, Pastor Joe has talked quite a bit out of Joseph and things, and he asked me about a month ago if I would do this, and then every week he'd get up and preach my sermon. So I'd build a new one. The next week he'd preach it. So he ain't here this morning. But, you know, as a pastor, you learn to really appreciate that. That lets you know when somebody gets up in the testimony service, the song service, and everything, it just flows right along with what you're preaching and it steals half of it. That lets you know you're on track. Amen. So that's a good thing. And, you know, sometimes we just need to realize as God's people, it's not so hard to bless someone. You know, sometimes all people need is a handshake. They need a smile. They need an encouraging word. And you never know when God's going to use you in the simplest little old ways. Last week, a few days ago, I was at Lowe's. I go there a little more often than my wife would like because I spend her money when I go to Lowe's. But I was at Lowe's, and I seen somebody just waving, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't recognize the vehicle. Maybe they're looking at somebody behind me. And I looked around, and there's nobody behind me. And so, you know, I thought, well, they're awful friendly. And so I looked a little closer, and there's this couple back here, and he had on a baseball cap, so I couldn't see that red hair. And I thought, I'm not sure whether that's them or not. But you know, after that, I got to thinking about that, and I recognized who they were. And, you know, I just blessed my heart all week. They were just friendly. And that just made me feel good. I thought about that a number of times, and it's just like, wow, you know, they act like they like me. Made me feel good all week long. And so sometimes we think, oh, you know, now I'm not really doing anything special. But sometimes we don't have to do something special to be a blessing. We just have to be an instrument that God can use in the simplest little ways. And just say an encouraging word. Hallelujah. Okay, last week, Brother Joe, he talked about having a breakthrough. Breakthrough is on the way. Okay. Today, I want to kind of deal with some of the things he dealt with, although I'll have to stay out of way from Joseph quite a bit, even though I love the guy and respect him and admire him an awful lot, and he's still ministering to people today, even though he's been dead for a few thousand years. And so I want to take it a little bit further and think about where do we go after we get a breakthrough? And different people go different places after they reach a breakthrough. You know, but a life in the Spirit is a life of progression. Once we give our life to the Lord, we should progress throughout life till we reach eternity. Some people do, some people don't. But that's what God intended for us to do, is to continually grow in Him, learn of Him, be a witness for Him, and just keep growing and learning all about Him and learning about His truth and coming to know Him. You know, it's not about just learning about Him, it's learning to know Him. And so, life should be a progression. Jesus was ministering, I didn't have this in my notes, but on the 13th chapter of Matthew, I think, He talked about the seed and the good ground and so forth. And He said, okay, sometimes the seed goes forth and it just falls on by the wayside. And that's the people that just hear it, don't understand it, and they go on their way, and it doesn't produce anything in their life. Some people, it falls on ground that the troubles and the trials of life gets them down, and they walk away from it. Others, it just comes along with the cares of life and getting money and trying to get ahead in life, and that throws them for. But then they said there's a group that. That seed falls on good ground, and they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so I look at that, and okay, yeah, some people the troubles get them down. Some people the good times get them down. You know, we often hear it said that, you know, it's not hard to live for the Lord when everything's going well. But you look at that parable, and sometimes people turn their back on God because they got problems. Sometimes people turn their back on God because everything's going great. Bottom line is, we just have to have a made up my mind. I'm going to live for the Lord. He's going to be first in my life. And it doesn't matter whether I've got problems or whether I don't. God's still God. He's still on the throne. He still takes care of me. If I got problems, He'll bring me through it. If everything's going great, he'll help me to stay stable and keep my mind focused. A few years ago, the Lord asked me a question. And first, I was really all excited about it, and then because I thought it was something natural, and then I found out it was something spiritual, so I had to get all excited again, Brother Chris. he asked me a question. I mean, I was riding down the highway, riding with somebody else, and he asked me a question. He said, "What would you do if you were suddenly rich, instantly?" You know, and I'm thinking, I didn't even buy a lottery ticket. What's he talking about? And, you know, my first reaction is, God must be fixing to make me rich. You know, and he wants me to do it right. And then I realized, oh, he's not talking about, he's not going to make me rich. That's not what he's talking about. He just wants to know, what would I do if I was? And I've answered that question dozens and dozens of times since then, and it has helped me a lot. Because your first reaction, well, I know what I do, you know. And so, ask yourself that question. What would you do? Where would you be next Sunday if all of a sudden this week you inherited $4 million? Would you be here? Maybe on a beach in Hawaii, you know. And so that's just the beginning of the questions, of the answers that I came up with that thing. What would I do with it? How? Mostly it wasn't what would I do with it, it's how would I react? Would I stay faithful to God, or would I let all that money distract me and deter me? And so sometimes it's not a matter of how do I handle the problems. Sometimes it's a matter of how do I handle the blessings and the presence and the goodness of God. And God wants us to come to the place where we are a blessed people. Thank you, Jack. I would say Jack was spiritual and could read my mind, but I think he can just hear my voice and realize I'm needing a drink. I don't drink a lot before I come to church and preaching, so it's not a distraction to me, but then sometimes you need a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jack. Hallelujah. Life is made to be a progression, but God wants us to bring us into a place where we are a blessed people and where we are a prosperous people. Now, prosperity, the problem is that word throws us off a lot of times. When somebody says prosperity, we think money. When God says prosperity, he's not even thinking about money 99% of the time. He's thinking about your soul and your spirit, and do you really have a relationship with God that gets you excited and thrilled every day and that brings you into something new all the time? Let me read a scripture to me. I forget sometimes you're supposed to preach a scripture when you're preaching, technically. And sometimes I wait till the middle of the sermon before I ever get to the scriptures. But let me read to you something in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, that has been a blessing to me, along with a lot of other things. And I'll have to give you a little bit of background. Most of you probably know that Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a story of blessings and curses. And we don't want the curses, we want the blessings. So we have to learn how to avoid the curses. You know, the scripture says that a curse causeless shall not come. So we don't have to worry about it if we walk with God. It will not come unless we give it a cause, unless we give it a reason. A curse causeless shall not come. And God here in Deuteronomy said, okay, all these blessings will overtake you if you keep my commandments and walk with me. But if you don't, all these curses. But then right in the middle of it, chapter 28, verse 45 through 47, if I can get these things focused right. And it's easier when I've got it underlined. It says, so all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. And here's the verse that I want to get to. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Reads a little bit different there than it does in the King James. But let's face it, at my age, you grew up on the King James. That's just the way it was. That's all we had, basically. And so that's learned to where I'll do all my quotations and everything from. And so when I get into these other translations and things, I don't even try to memorize them and quote them because I've spent 40 years memorizing the King James. And now when I get into these others and I start quoting, I get it all mixed up and confused. And I have to read it. So, but I look at that and I thought, you know, because you did not serve the Lord your God. And then he says there is a particular way you're supposed to do it. With joyfulness and gladness for the abundance of all things. And I, that for the abundance of all things really gripped my heart. And I thought, what is God saying there? You know, I've always thought, you know, worship the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. Serve the Lord anyhow. That always leaves the idea in your mind. Well, when it says serve the Lord anyhow, that leaves the idea of, it's going to be rough, but I'm going to serve him anyhow. Well, there's times it's a little bit rough and you serve the Lord anyhow. But life is not about strictly trials and tests all of your life. Life is about coming into the place where the Lord's blessing is upon our lives. Now, I'll grant you, when you first get saved, many times for a while, it's all about trials and tests. Simply because the Lord wants to get a lot of things out of our heart and get us into the blessings of God. And so it takes a little pressure to do that sometimes. But we don't want to spend all of our life having trials and tests. We want to come to the place where the Lord's favor will be upon our life and where his blessings will be upon our life. We want to get to the place where we can enjoy all the wonderful things that God does for Israel. God always, when Israel cried out to God, God always brought them out of bondage, and he always brought them into liberty, and he always brought them into his blessing. And when he brought him into his blessing, Israel backslid. Done it every time. Throughout history, they always, when God blessed them, that's when they backslid. And so God had to start the whole thing again, leave them in bondage for years. And then when they finally had had their belly plumb full of it, sick of it, then they'd cry out unto God, and God would hear their prayers, and he'd bring them back, and then he would bless them again. And pretty soon they were prospering and being blessed. And God says, Israel, this is where I'd like for you to live. God is saying today to your church, this is where I would like for you to live. I do not want you having to go back and start this whole thing over again. You just go on. Line a little here, a line there, and excuse me, here a line, there a line, precept on precept, and let's advance. Let's go someplace. Let's go into the land where the blessing of the Lord is upon your life and where you can enjoy the abundance of his blessings upon your life and serve him with joyfulness and gladness of heart. That's how he wants it. He does not want us to serve him with a downcast spirit. You go out and you're all downcast and you're discouraged and you're just fed up with life and you're trying to witness somebody and tell them that they need to get saved. How's that going to work? It ain't. Okay, we must keep his commandments. That's a fact. But his commandments are not grievous. But we need to keep them with this kind of an attitude, with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Hallelujah. Okay, in our daily living, you know, a lot of times in our daily living, and sometimes in church, people will pray just long enough to get a good feeling. You ever notice that? I'm sure every one of you have done that sometime, some another. I've done it. You did, you're praying, and all of a sudden you get that feeling, and you say, oh, I got it. I'm through. I'm feeling great now. Well, I've learned that sometimes once you're feeling great, that's the time to keep going because you haven't got what you asked for yet. You're just feeling good. It don't take a whole lot sometimes to get you feeling good. I mean, a couple of people waved at me in Walls the other day and just got me feeling really good. They didn't pay my bill. Nothing else happened except I just felt good. And that was nice. Sometimes we come into the presence of God and we just stay long enough to get to feeling good. But we need to stay there long enough to hear from the voice of the Lord, hear what he's got to say, and let him minister to us and let him provide for us that which we came needing. Stay there sometimes. When you're feeling, it's a lot easier to pray when you're feeling good than it is when you're feeling bad. So stay there. Get what you're looking for. Get that breakthrough. Brother Joe was talking about last week. Make it a habit of prayer. Make it a habit of study. And I wanted to say this. Make it a habit of meditation. You know, all these notes I got half of them at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, sometimes when the Lord deals with me, he'll give me a message just like that quick, faster than I can ever write it down. And sometimes, like this time, I've known for a month. And I'd get up 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord would be dealing with me, and I'd write it down. I just get a sentence or two, and I write it down. The next morning, 3:30 in the morning, I get another sentence or two. Sometimes I got lucky. In the daytime, I'd get something. But it just gone on, a little here and a little there, and it's like I had to work at this one. And then yesterday I had to go through and I had to look at all them notes and like, well, Joe got that one 2 weeks ago. Well, Joe caught this one last week. Well, this one I don't think fits okay. And so I could keep you here to 4 o'clock even if I just go to my trash can up there in my office and get all them notes out. Though I had to cull it out a little bit. But you know, that meditation time, so many times I get what I get in the middle of the night because once I get calm and I get relaxed and everything else off of my mind, the Lord will wake me up and then I can think clear and I can receive easily from the Lord. We need that meditation time. We don't hear much about it in church. We need prayer, yes. We need Bible study, yes. But we need time where we just get alone with the Lord, sit down and relax, forget about all that work that needs to be done, forget about them honey-do list. Man, mine's long. But anyway, forget about all that stuff and just get alone and just do some meditating and get quiet before the Lord and just do some thinking and do some listening and let the Lord talk and let Him communicate. And oh, I'll tell you what, sometimes it is such a blessing just to meditate on the Lord. Hallelujah. So learn to enjoy your prayer time. Learn to enjoy your study time. It's not a matter of fulfilling an obligation. Well, you know, I got to read my 3 chapters today. No, it's not a matter of, I got to spend so many time in penitence and prayer. Or you know, it's a matter of, I get to come in the presence of the Lord. I get to look into His Word. I get to sit and think, just dwell on Him and see and listen for His voice and see what He's got to say. Learn to enjoy your time with the Lord. You know, it's not just what you can learn. You know, I could preach to you for 4 or 5 hours today, and when you walk out of here tomorrow morning, you probably couldn't remember one thing I said. Maybe just a few little things. From what I understand, we only get just a small percentage of sermons that are preached. So what you're going to get from the Lord that's really going to sustain you in life, a lot of it's going to be what you get at home in the presence of the Lord, seeking Him for yourself. Hallelujah. And by the way, one thing that would really help us a lot, I'm going to throw this in. Joe's not here, and he's off down there in Florida, hopefully having a great time because vacations are a very needful thing in our life. But, you know, Joe does something that I really like. He puts together these things here every Sunday, and he's got his whole sermon outlined in there with all those scriptures. Now, today, about all it's good for is you can scratch, draw pictures or whatever, and you know. But ordinarily, the whole sermon outline is there. And if during the week you would take that thing home and you would go through it scripture by scripture, you don't have to do it all at one time. Do a certain amount of it on Monday. Do a certain amount of it on Tuesday. It gets you into that habit of studying every day. And take those things. You will learn so much of what Joe's trying to put into your life. You'll learn a lot more of it if you take these things home and study it than you do if you just come here and listen, because you can't retain it all and grasp it and walk out of here and have it. But if you walk out of here with that paper and you study that thing, you'll remember then what he preached. And it'll become a part of your life. You see, it's not the word that you heard, it's a word that becomes a part of your life that ministers to you and that keeps you and sustains you and that brings you into the promised land. So, study it. It'll be good for you. Hallelujah. And you know, it's really not about feelings anyway. It's about a relationship. You know, we don't worship God to feel good. We worship because He's great. Hallelujah. And because He's Lord. So I ask you this question. What does God need to do to keep you praying? Bring blessings on your life or allow problems to come into your life? He wants us to communicate with Him on a daily basis. And so I don't want to force God. I mean, I don't want God to have to force me to pray. I don't want Him to have to force me to study. I don't want Him to have to force me to meditate. I want to learn all I can about someone that I love. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, learn to just be yourself. So many times, you know, I've looked at my, I mean, I look at it now and I say, yeah, I wish I could sing like Sean. I wish I could play a guitar like John. You know, I love that little twang thing he does on that guitar, you know, and it just makes me feel good. I like it. I've even bought a couple of guitars in my life. A lot of good that done me. There's times I'd like to have a personality like Jack and Jerry. They get out here and they're just friendly to everybody, shake hands, hi, how you doing, you know. Me, I just kind of more reserved. I guess that's a good way to put it. And it's not that I don't like people. I'm just a little more reserved. I grew up being a pastor. When I was a pastor, I'd done it. But now that I'm not a pastor, I guess for the first time, it's like, I want to stay here. I don't want the pastor to think I'm butting in or trying to, you know. And so then I just kind of back into that little reserved thing. And but sometimes I wish I could be like Jack. But I ain't, so there's no point in me worrying about it. The Lord didn't make me to be Jack. If he did, he'd have named me Jack. Or Jerry. So be yourself. Let Jerry be himself. Let him get out there and meet all the people and be all the smiles and everything. And that's great and that's wonderful. And let me do what God intended for me to do. And in life, we need to be what the Lord made us to be. I cannot do someone's thing. You know, I love to sing. But you don't want to hear me. Yeah, I would, you know, if I could lead worship and sing like Sean, I would probably never preach. Pastor, you don't say, I want you to preach next Sunday. I said, not me, I'm leading worship. And so God says, okay, we're not going to give him a voice that can sing at all, because that's not what I'm going to be doing. I'll leave that up to Sean. Be yourself. You know, we spend a lot of time wishing, wanting to be what somebody else is. And if God wanted you to be rich, big deal. He just give you a gold mine. Enjoy yourself. You know, enjoy what God gives you. Enjoy just being in the presence of God and being yourself and be comfortable with who you are. I mean, we got people nowadays, they don't even want, you know, we got a man who wanted to be a woman. Saw it on television a couple of weeks ago. Stupid guy. Stupid girl, I don't know whether I call him a guy or girl, whatever. Stupid fits real good. The other two, I'm not sure which way to go. Okay? I know the stupid part. I got that down. You don't have to tell him I said so. No point in a big lawsuit. Hallelujah. Last week, Brother Joe, one of the things in the little deal, I read it and read it again. It said, practice the positives in life. That's one of the, do you remember that? No? That's why I asked you to take these home and reread them again. He said, practice the positives in life. You know, some of us spent years practicing all the negatives. Griping and complaining. This ain't right. That ain't right. And then when we get to know the Lord, but then we need to practice all about the joy. We need to practice the peace. We need to practice the presence of God. You know why we practice? Because practice makes perfect. The more you practice peace, the more you're going to have. The more you practice joy, the more you're going to have. Practice the presence of God, and you'll have them all. Hallelujah. Great peace. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's King James. Modern translation, if you read it, says nothing will cause them to stumble, I think. So it is. If we love the Word of God, the law of God, it will bring not just a little bit of peace, not an occasional peace, it will bring great peace to our life, and it will cause us to be so established in God's Word that we will have not only have a great peace, but we have a peace to the point that nothing is going to be able to overthrow us. You know, I'm glad that I'm an American. I'm glad that I wasn't born in Iraq. I'm glad that I wasn't born in Japan. I'm glad that I was not raised in Mexico. Man, I don't know how to swim far enough to get across that river to get to be an American. I'm glad that I am an American. I'm glad that I was born in this generation. I've learned. You know, there was times when I've lived in places that I didn't like. I'm glad there's times when I had jobs that I didn't like. But I found out if you give it to God, He not only will cause you to be able to enjoy, you will find out that He done what was good for you. Sometimes I go on jobs. And I always wanted one of them simple jobs where you just take this round thing and put it in this round hole and I could sit there and concentrate. I said, well, this would be to my advantage, Lord. If I could just do this thing, just this monotonous thing for 8 hours, I could just really concentrate on you. But He always gives me these jobs, and within a week or two, I'm the foreman or I'm the boss, and I got to think, and I got to learn to handle all this responsibility. And I never did want to handle responsibility. I just wanted to put this round peg in this round hole and get my paycheck. Yeah. He never would let me do that because He was training me to handle responsibility. And so it was good for me. And once I would yield to that, I'm okay. Now a beautiful thing has happened in my life. Because I accepted that responsibility and I learned to live wherever He put me. And I learned to live in whatever town He put me in, do whatever job He put me in. Now He's allowed me to live this beautiful town of Lebanon, Missouri. That every one of you is thrilled about, right? If you're here, enjoy it. I heard they're putting in a Denny's. I feel good about that. I like Denny's. I haven't been there in 20 years, but last time I was there, they had great coffee. I don't want to live in Springfield. I like living in Lebanon. I moved to Kansas on purpose to get here just so I could be in this church. I like this church. I'm happy with it. God's not putting me under some of the pressure that He had me in before. He brought me to the place where I'm just laid back and relaxing and enjoying life now. I'm having a good time. I've got a good town. I got a good church. I got a good wife. I got a good granddaughter. I got things going my way. I love it. I'm enjoying the blessings and the presence of the Lord. Jesus is marvelous. Hallelujah. And what He will do for you is a marvelous thing. Just yield to Him and relax and enjoy Him. Hallelujah. When Danielle got saved, not too long ago, she got saved because she was having problems. After she got saved, she was having problems. But I keep encouraging her. I said, Danielle, there's a scripture that says you're going to reap what you sow. I said, you're reaping what you sowed. I said, the nice thing about it is, while you're reaping those nasty things you sowed, you're sowing great things, and there's going to come a day when you're going to have a great harvest. So just keep on doing what she's doing. I'm proud of Danielle, because Danielle done what I think that every Christian, you know, I don't believe when we get saved, we should walk up in front of a preacher and say, you know, here's three sentences, go on, you're saved, you're on your way. I believe sometimes we need to have an experience with God that will cause us to be established, and then we need to work on that establishment every day of our life by coming into His presence, seeking the Lord, getting into His Word, allowing Him to do whatever He wants to do in our heart. It brings us to a place where God can cause us our lives to be fruitful, where He can cause our lives to be blessed, and where we can enjoy life and come to the place where we serve Him with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of the wonderful things He does. There is a law that says if you're going to sow good things, you're going to reap good things. It's a law. Hallelujah. God didn't lie. He intends it for it to be that way. So I like great peace. The way to have great peace is to love the law of God. Hallelujah. And then I don't have to worry about stumbling. I don't have to worry about backsliding. You know, I went to a church for a while, and one of their main teachings was that once you give yourself to God, you cannot backslide. You are eternally, totally secure, no matter what you do. And one of them, I said, doesn't that bother you that you don't believe that? I said, no, I feel I'm eternally secure. As long as I walk with God, I'm eternally secure. I don't worry about it. I don't have to have false doctrine to get me where I can. Well, I can go to church on Sunday and I can get drunk on Saturday, and I can run around on my wife on Tuesday. And if I don't like somebody, I can shoot them. You know, but I'm still going to heaven. That's not what God's Word says. Hallelujah. Besides that, it's such a pleasure just to live for God and enjoy His presence. You know, to me, it's like, And even if I didn't get heaven out of it, it's a pleasure just serving God and living with, communicate with Him. I love it when He wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Even when I was working and working hard and I needed my sleep, I still loved it when He'd wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I never seemed to be sleepy when He'd wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. The next day, I was always feeling fine. You can't go wrong serving God. Hallelujah. Okay, I better get on with things. Hallelujah. You know, it's our nature to want our circumstances changed so we can have peace. That's just kind of human nature. The car breaks down, we want a new one. That'll give me peace. Until payment comes due. And we want our circumstances changed so we'll have peace. God says, let me change your heart and give you peace. And you don't care then whether the car's running or whether it's not. It's fine. No, I need a new battery. So what? God's given me the money, I can pay for one. Let peace. You know, peace does not come from the absence of trouble. It comes from the presence of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't come because we have difficulties. It doesn't come because we have things going great. There's been times when I've had tremendous difficulties, I still had peace. There's been times in my life, and I guarantee you there's been times in your life when everything was going well, and you still didn't have peace. Didn't you know why? There's times I didn't have peace because I drank too much coffee, had too much caffeine in my system. Drives me crazy. So I have to drink mostly. I drink half and half, and I can't drink a whole lot of that. I can't handle caffeine. So I'm smart. I just stay away from that caffeine. I just stay away from that caffeine, and I have peace. There's no point doing something stupid when I know it's going to bother me. Hallelujah. And so, peace comes from the presence and the Spirit of God. Okay, let me get rid of that one. 3 of 8. I better rush now, hadn't I? Okay. God loves us with a perfect love, but He never spoils us. In America today, we spoil our kids, and then we wonder why they're messed up when they grow up. We can't handle life. God never spoils us, but He desires to bring us to the place where He can bless us and the place where we have abundant life. But I've never known God to ever try to spoil me. A few times I've tried to get Him to. But God seems to have a mind of His own. He knows what's best for me, and He does what's best for me. He loves me. He doesn't spoil me. He loves you. He's not interested in spoiling you. He's interested in bringing you into the place where you can be blessed. He wants to bring you to the place where His favor will be upon your life, but so that you can handle it. You know, you spoil a kid and they can't handle life as well as the kid. But if you love someone, then you do what's best for them, and therefore they learn to handle life. That's the way God treats us. Now, He doesn't spoil us. He just wants to bring us into abundant life in all areas of our life. Proverbs 3. Let me better read it. I switched Bibles again. Well, I'm home all week. I use King James because that's what I'm familiar with. And then I come here, I use these others because that's what everybody uses here, and I can't quote these scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3. I got it marked. 1 Kings, that's not it. I do not like glasses. Can't see without them, can't see with them. Proverbs chapter 28, that's not it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. Sometimes these scriptures don't have to be very deep or complicated. They just have, sometimes they're just plain and simple where God says, this is just the way it is. You know, plain English, here it is, where you can understand it, where anybody can understand it, where we can all understand it, but it's my truth. It will work. And so we just have to give ourselves to it. Holiness must always be first in our life. Without it, you can forget all the rest of it. Holiness, you know, down through the centuries, the enemy has tried to bring holiness into so much false teaching and things concerning holiness that it's just brought a lot of confusion to the church. Holiness is simply walking with God, doing what He wants you to do. It's not complicated to walk holy with God. It's not saying, and you know, the old thing is the teaching so many times brought us to the point where for years I thought holiness was something so far beyond me. You know, I can try, but I might get, you know, if I spend the rest of my life, maybe I'll get the first 3% of it down. But, you know, holiness, God says, be holy for I am holy. So he's not asking us to do something that's impossible. We just give ourselves unto him and walk with him. It's not all about a lot of the things that people have made it. Never mind what he made it. Just go with what God says it is. It's just simply walking with him by the power of the Spirit of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why should we have to stress ourselves out over something that's temporal anyway? Concentrate on the things that's eternal. You know, my wife, somebody said, you know, don't y'all ever argue? Well, why should we? You know, because we have this thing. It's all about eternity anyway. So if it's all about eternity, it don't matter if I'm right or she's right. Let's just stay happy. Now, when we first started practicing that, she'd have this thing, don't patronize me. But she got over that. Because at first she's like, I ain't arguing with you. If you want to be right, you can be right. I can be wrong. You know, don't matter to me. Don't patronize me. Well, now she has the same attitude I do. It's all about eternity, so it's not worth arguing about. It's not worth fussing about. Hallelujah. You know, in life, really, the older you get, the more it all is about eternity. But, you know, if we can learn that when we're young, it's about eternity. It's not about all these temporal things. And so, who cares whether we buy Postosies or whether we buy shredded wheat? You know, most things, it's not any more important than that. Most of the things that people argue about are not any important than that. They're really not worth arguing about. And once we can learn to the point where I don't have to be right, it doesn't make a bit of difference whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. You know, let's just go on. Hallelujah. I'm trying to cover some of these things that try to bother us. You know, God's Word, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, will guide us to success from any position you're in. It don't matter whether we were born rich. It doesn't matter whether we were born poor. It doesn't matter whether we were born in some other country, whether we were born here. If we give ourselves unto God, God will take us where we are, with who we are, and he will cause our lives to be a success. He intends for every one of our lives to be a success, and he will take us from where we are and make us that if we would just yield to him and walk with him. God does not gain any pleasure out of making a failure out of you. Matter of fact, he will never make a failure out of you. If you're going to be a failure, you have to go opposite direction from God and do it on your own. Hallelujah. And you know, I've seen so many people that they really don't want to give themselves to God because they look at their past life and they just let it mess them up. Paul was a religious man. He had people killed. He had people thrown in prison. But you know, when he came to God, he says, that's over with. Yeah, I messed up. I done it all wrong. Done it all wrong for the wrong reasons. But he said, okay, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I don't deserve to serve God. He said, God wants me to serve him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to let the grace of God be in vain in my life. If God saved me, he wanted me, and he wants me to live for him, and I'd have no reason to use an excuse because of my past failures, because I've done it all wrong. I just need to get up from this point on, and I need to forget about the mistakes I've made, and I need to go on. Paul did it. Moses killed a man. You would think God would not use a killer. But he said, I just got to get that out of his heart. Bring him back and use him. He got to become a great leader. David committed adultery, committed murder. God still used him. Not because of it, but in spite of it. Because those men are saying, okay, I done this thing wrong. Yeah, I killed the guy. That was wrong. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of a desert because of it. And I imagine being out there 40 years in the heat. Moses said many times, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to do this right next time. You know, but a lot of people would come along and say, well, you know, I've done this wrong. I deserve to be out here in the heat. I don't deserve to serve God. I'm going to come back to him, but I'm just going to sit on the back row and just mind my own business and keep my mouth shut, and I'm not going to do anything. But, you know, if no matter what kind of mistakes we've made in the past, if we really love the Lord, we need to put our heart into it and serve him with all of our might because he deserves it. He chose us, and he says, I want you to get up, and I want you to get busy. Never mind the past. Never let your past dictate your future. Never let your past dictate your future. Always just start from this time on. Hallelujah. I don't know where she got it. Probably some garage sale. But anyway, the other day I noticed hanging up in my kitchen another plaque. And it says, nobody can go back and start a new beginning. But anybody can start today and make a new ending. And I like it. I don't know who wrote it. I don't even know where she got it. I just, along with all these other plaques, it talked about, you know, brain cells come and brain cells go, but fat cells live forever. And then right next to it, there's a good one. And I like this one. I didn't care about the fat cell thing, but I like that nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. Some of you probably needed to hear that. And I like this, and I want you to understand this. We need to acknowledge that God has done a good work in us. You know, I hear so many Christians that say, we got a good God, but I'm no good. I'm just worthless. You know, I don't deserve this, and I don't deserve that. You know, and I said to think about it. You know, we've been a Christian for 20 years. 20 years God's been working on us. Do we think God is so brainless that for 20 years he's been working on us and he hasn't done anything good in us? Chris been building trusses for 20 years. There's people still buying them, apparently. But, you know, if you go all over the whole county, Chris can't build trusses. They fall apart in the first week. And every truss that he built was no good. It wouldn't be long. He wouldn't be building trusses. So why would you keep doing something that you can't do and do right? Why would we kind of come along and say, God just, he's been working on me 20 years, but he just can't get it together. He can't do any good. He can't accomplish anything within me. You know, we need to acknowledge that God has done a good work in us. And if we can acknowledge that, well, we can acknowledge that without being lifted up with pride. Pride says, I done it. Humility says, God done it. But it's been done. You know, I look back on my life, and when the Lord got a hold of me, I was so dumb and ignorant. And now I can look back, and I say, well, I was a lot dumber than I thought I was. I look back onto some of the things that God has brought me through, and I thought, it's amazing that I ever made it. Man, I think about, now I understand grace a lot more than I ever did before, because I can look back and say, I'd never made it if I hadn't been for the grace of God over and over and over, and his mercies are new every morning. And man, I'm a living example of that, because I ain't going to tell you, but I can look back in my life and say, it's a miracle that God ever got me to where he got me. And I'm glad he's not through with me yet. But I can at least acknowledge we got a great God and he's done something inside of me. I'm not afraid to say that I'm going to live for God tomorrow. He brought me through enough that there's something established in me. God is God. He's King. He's Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Better rush. Humility and holiness, they're hallmarks of a successful Christian life. And so, yes, we're going to walk with God and we got to be holy. But we need to acknowledge that God's done a work, and we need to be humble about it. I want us to look at some things now. Sometimes names in the Bible mean something, and sometimes they don't. Some people, even God changed a few people's names to mean something different. And it used to be a big thing, especially in Israel's days. They named their kids and things after what they wanted them to be and so forth. And the book of Ruth, and I don't have time to go there and take you through the scriptures and things, but there was a man named Elimelech. And where'd that water go, Jack? He was a Jew in Israel, the time of the judges, and there wasn't a lot going on spiritually in Israel at this particular time. And there was a famine in the land, and Elimelech and his wife Naomi, they packed up and they moved to Moab. Times were tough. And so they moved to Moab. Now, Elimelech His name meant, "My God is King." That's what his name meant. Naomi, her name meant lovely, pleasant, or delightful. But now, you can make what you want out of it, but "My God is King" and "lovely and pleasant" produced two sons, Mahon and Chilion. You know what their names mean? Mahon means weak and sickly. Go ahead, my name's John. Chilion means failing and pining. What names? "My God is King" united with "lovely and pleasant" and produced "weak and sickly, failing and pining" in a land that they probably should never have been in. That says to me that we need to stay where God put us. We need to be in the house of God on a regular basis. We need to be in the presence of God, because if God is King and we are united with the lovely and pleasant things that He does, we need to produce something that is strong. We need to produce something that is healthy. We need to produce the joy of the Lord. We need to be reproducers of the joy and the presence and the peace and the goodness of God. The kingdom of God needs to be reproduced in us, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we need to produce that. And if our God is King and we are united with the lovely things that He has done in our life, then we should be productive in a good way and in a positive way. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if our nature is that God is King, and if we're living that pleasant life like we should, we will produce strong, healthy, and productive things in our life. Now, wrong page. That's what I get for writing on both sides of it. Saving paper. Naomi. That meant pleasant. You know, we sometimes, even in the Bible, when we look back on people, we're bad about criticizing people. Sometimes we're bad about criticizing each other. And we can look, I've heard people criticize David. I've heard people criticize this one and that one and everybody else. But, you know, we need to look at people just the way God looks at them. When I look at you this morning, I need to look at you the way God looks at you. I need to see what God sees. Amen. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, if God saw something bad and He didn't like you, He had no problem. He'd zap you. But since you're here and you are enjoying the presence of God, I have to take it for granted that God loves you. That's what He said. And so, therefore, I need to also. And I need to see you the way God sees you. And so we don't want to be too critical of people in the Bible. Naomi, yeah, she was down there in a foreign land. She went with her husband. Maybe that was good. Maybe it was bad. God didn't really say any word. But I'm not here to criticize her. Naomi, she had been a woman of godly character. When I read it in the Word of God, yeah, she may have been in a foreign country. There may have been a family land. There wasn't much going on spiritually. But she had something in her life that there was two daughter-in-laws that loved her, wept when they had to depart from her. They had a lot of respect for her, and they had made up their mind, and especially Ruth made up her mind, "I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to serve the God you serve. He's your God. I see what I see in you, and that inspires me that I'm going to go with your God, and I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to be a friend to you." By the way, that's what Ruth's name means. It means friend. And so, Naomi, you know, one time she said, "Hey, don't call me Naomi anymore. Just call me Mara." Mara means sadness. So don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me sadness. But no, God still saw Naomi. He still saw that pleasant, that lovely lady. And He caused His character to be in her enough that it inspired Ruth. That Ruth said, "Your God's going to be my God. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. And if I don't, then God can zap me." Basically is what she said. She was true all the way. But you know, she had that tenacity in her life. I'm talking about Ruth now. Ruth meant friend. She was a true friend. I like this song about "I'm a friend of God." You know, sometimes when you're singing these songs and you're up here praising and worship the Lord, pay attention to these words. Every Sunday morning I come to church, I look at them words, and sometimes I don't think a Sunday goes by that I don't get blessed out of some of those words that we're singing. Look at them. "And I'm a friend of God." You know, I used to think, I don't know how God could even think that about me. Well, I wasn't looking at things the way God was. So I'm a friend of God. So Naomi said, hey, just call me bitterness. And God says, no, I'm not calling you bitter. Your name's going to be Naomi. You're still pleasant. You still got some character in your life. You're still inspiring. I'm still using you. Hallelujah. You're still Naomi. She stayed faithful through years of difficult times. Ruth was a friend. She was a true and a loyal friend to Naomi, and she came to respect her God. She was steadfast, and she was tenacious to purpose. You know, her devotion and determination, you know, Ruth was a Moabite. She was not an Israelite. But so many times, God honors faith. And so, she went from being an outcast into having a relationship with God. She went from having handfuls on purpose to having the paper of God. She went to having the protection of God. She went from gleaning fields to the main house. She went to marriage to the kinsman redeemer. And so he will do for us. Ruth's life was a life of progression. And I looked up that word redeemer because I was thinking, oh, kinsman redeemer. What's kinsman? I know what redeemer means. I know what kinsman means. What does kinsman redeemer mean? Well, I found out that kinsman meant redeemer. And so I looked it up, and it's a redeemer. Now, you and we all know and we all understand that our redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So now, with that in mind, we'll look at this. Redeemer, another word was goel, meant the same thing. A dictionary says, and this is Moody's Dictionary, a term for kinsman which implies certain obligations arising from that relationship. The primary meaning is coming to the help or rescue of one. So our Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of his goals in life and one of his purposes in life being that is that he comes to the aid and rescue of every one of us in our time of need. It's not just that he redeemed us from sin. He is with us as our Redeemer throughout life on a daily basis, all the way from here to eternity. And in eternity, we are going to be the bride of Christ. The church becomes the bride of Christ. We can follow the story of Ruth from being an outcast to being the bride of the kinsman Redeemer. We can follow our story when we were messed up in sin to the point that eventually we are going to be the bride of Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. And all the way from here to there is a high work of progression that he wants to have in our life, where we enjoy life, where we come to the place where he does a lot for us. You say, well, you know, I got all these problems. So what? They're going to bring you to the place, if you submit them to God, they're going to bring you to the place where you can serve him with joyfulness, gladness, for the abundance of all things. Never mind our difficulties. Never mind our blessings. Let's just serve God with all of our heart, no matter what comes. Hallelujah. Okay. I had too many notes this time, and I threw away more than I kept. A complainer. I love being a worshiper. Keeps you happy. Keeps you enjoying the presence of God. A complainer is subject to circumstances. A worshiper is subject to God. And destined for success. I like that. You know, we maintain success, and that's what we're talking about, maintaining success in our life. We maintain success just like we receive it, by being faithful to God. No matter how good he is to us, we want to stay faithful. We don't want to get caught up in all the blessings so much that we forget about him. Keep him first. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep him first in our life, and we will enjoy success from here on out. Hallelujah. Okay. For the Christian, life is not supposed to be just about survival. It's supposed to be about learning how to be a winner, to having abundant life. Winning is not about being the best. I don't have to worry about being better than you. I don't have to worry about you being better than me. I have to worry about just following God in the way that he chose for me to be. I don't have to be like somebody else. I don't have to be better than anybody else. I just have to be me, and I just have to walk with God. That's all I have to do. That's all you have to do, just walk with God. We're not in competition with anyone. We're not in competition with any other churches. We're not in competition with anybody. We just want to walk with God. Being a winner. It's not about being best. It's about being what God wants us to be. Hallelujah. We need to learn that we can prosper in prison or we can prosper in the king's court. Where we're at. If we walk with God, we can be prosperous. We can be successful. It's not about money. It's about the Christ within being lived out in our daily lives. God's good. He's got some great and wonderful people, and he's making us better. Hallelujah. You know, last Sunday night, we come to the, whatever they call that thing every month, I forget what they call it, whether we gather together and just pray and worship the Lord. And I was so blessed. I looked around and had all these people here just pouring their heart out to God, telling, asking him, surrendering their lives to him, praying, seeking God, worshiping God, just delighting God. And I got so excited just watching that. I thought, man, it's awesome. There's a lot of people who love God with all their heart. I remember a prophet one time, he cried out and said, man, Lord, I'm the only one left. I said, boy, you don't know what you're talking about. We got a good, great, wonderful God. Hallelujah. And I'll guarantee you, he wants to take you someplace far beyond where you're at today, no matter how far along you are. And if you're here this morning, amen. Sean, you can come to the platform. If you're here this morning, I want you to realize that God wants you to take you into the place where a relationship with Jesus Christ just brings you to the place where you're full of joy, where you're full of peace, where there's victory in your life, where you can have confidence in God. The enemy is always trying to take away your confidence in God. God is always trying to just pour more confidence into your life. Every time you open the book, he's saying, confidence, confidence. You can trust me. You can trust me. Hallelujah. I heard my wife say something. I don't know whether she'd read it or whether she'd heard it, but she was telling somebody about it. And there was a little girl saying a prayer. And the mother was listening in. I guess there was a mother listening in to this prayer. And the little girl was coming to the end of her prayer time. And she said, oh, by the way, God, take really good care of yourself, because if you get lost, we're all in a world of hurt down here. Well, I want you to know God's taking good care of himself. He's on the job. And he's ready to listen to you 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever the need of your life is, he's ready and willing to hear you, and he wants you to bring you out of your problems, and he wants you to bring you into victory, and he wants you to learn how to walk in victory and walk in success and never go back from that. Just keep walking and pursuing the presence and the goodness and the blessings of the Lord and enjoy him more and more and more, because we are heading to a marriage. Hallelujah. It isn't going to be too long till we're all going to be married to the King. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but when I getting ready to get married, I felt like I was in love or I wouldn't have been doing it. I was a happy boy. Hallelujah. But I guarantee you, life's a lot better now, because my wife has just grown and matured in the Lord. And, you know, now she's just a thrill to be around. I love her. Hallelujah. I got a great one. I got a good one. And if you don't, well, you know, in the Bible days, sometimes you didn't have a choice. They just said, Abraham come along and said, here, Isaac, here's your wife. Love her. Take care of her. Oh, by the way, her name's Rebecca. Well, I'm sorry, but you chose who you're married to. Hey, man, if you don't like Bud, it's time to pray. Because you're stuck with him. Hallelujah. Bud's a good man. I'm sure of that. I feel that in my spirit. And so, you know, but we can make a lot of excuses for not enjoying the presence of God. But God says, you don't really have an excuse. I want you to enjoy me because I want to be good to you. And I want to be better to you than you've ever been. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you have a need, amen. If you have a need, let's all stand. Does anyone need special prayer this morning? You have a wonderful God that wants to meet your need. He's a healer. Hallelujah. Jesus ministered to a man one time. And there was a bunch of religious people around. And Jesus said, he said to the man, he said, your sins be forgiven you. And they got all upset. It was okay if he said, hey, you healed. They confronted him and he said, now if we acknowledge that what he said was true, and then we have to acknowledge that he's truly the Son of God. And so they were saying, okay, it's okay if he healed, but it's not okay that if he says he's the Son of God and he can forgive sins. Human nature is kind of strange. They were upset because he was saying he was the Son of God and he can forgive sin. Nowadays, you've been in a church and they'll say most of the time, it's okay if we say that he can forgive sins, but it's not okay if we say he can heal or that he can perform miracles. I want you to know we have a God that can forgive sins, no matter what they are. I want you to know that we have a God that can heal you. I want you to know that you have a God that can change your circumstances and make a happy person out of the saddest person on earth. If you're here this morning and you have a need, please come. There's plenty of people here to pray for you. Hallelujah. Anybody need special prayer? Hallelujah. If not, go your way. Be happy. Enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy one another. God's good. You got a great bunch of people. God bless you.
Every mountain that is high, he is higher.